Okay, this morning I wanted to share some things with you. The title today is It's Hammer Time, and I'll explain that so you'll see that as we go along. But I just wanted to remind us of something. Sometimes people enter into a life and a relationship with Jesus and they think everything's going to be smooth. I've heard it so much, you know, Jesus is the answer, and you know, we all understand that, but sometimes people think, just go to Him, everything's no troubles, no trials. Well, that's not how it works. And I want to remind you, you all know about those little clams, that when a little sand irritant gets in there, what does it do? It stirs it to emit something that makes a pearl. So a sand irritant, that could be, you think this is a pain in the neck, why do I have this sand in here? It's actually forming something of value. And we all know about diamonds, how they're made. They're made under heat and pressure. It's just old coal. But under tremendous heat and tremendous pressure, that old junky coal is actually turned into a diamond. And we understand about gold itself. It's just a raw hunk of mineral with mixed with a ton of other things. They put it in a crucible, which is a container to which they put a fire. The gold, that ore is heated up until the gold is only just the gold. The rest of the dross just rises to the top. So the examples that we have, not only in the scripture, but in our own world, we can see that things of great value come from irritants, come from things that hurt, come from things that cause pressure and heat in your life. So don't think it strange among us when hard things happen. If you're out there being stupid, your hard things are because you cause stupidity. If you steal a van, you're probably going to go to jail and it's going to be a little tough. But don't be surprised when you come to the Lord that He is going to open up some things that will challenge you. He allows trials. He allows irritants. He allows heat. He allows pressure. He allows the fire to come, so to speak, because He's forming a treasure. It is not to destroy you. It is to build you up. But there's certain conditions on that. If you do not have Jesus Christ as your center, if He is not the one that you have gone to and asked for forgiveness and asked Him to come inside and be your Lord as well as your Savior, then you can't do what He calls you to do, and your life will be total frustration. Yet we have a world out there that just say, hey, say these few words and everything's fine. That's not true. You cannot do what God says to do with your broken nature. Now those that are listening on the website can't see what I have over here, but I have a broken hammer, two pieces. I have a hammer that was broken that's fixed. It's taped back up with Gorilla Tape. And we're going to see the difference here. We've got on the screen a boasted power nail gun. Now we have all these levels of the hammer, and God gives us a real word picture of what He wants us to do. Now, in Oswald Chambers, which is a devotional that I've often read over the years, it's called My Utmost for His Highest, he makes a comment that's so important that we have to understand this. He says, our sins are removed because of the death of Jesus. We are acceptable to God not because we have obeyed or because we promised to give up things, but because of the death of Jesus Christ. Amen. And in no other way. Jesus was not just some other prophet who called upon the people. He is the planned event of God to restore the people of God to God. We were ripped away from God, His power, His holiness, His cleanliness by what Adam did. We are now restored by what Jesus did. Not religion, not Buddha, not Allah, not atheism. It all ends, you just die and you go in the ground. A broken mind has come up with all of this foolishness. We forget You're broken, just like that hammer. You're a broken thinker, broken feeler, broken walker, and yet we use this brokenness to establish families, to establish businesses, to run our government. No wonder things are falling apart. People have become their own God and said, this is what I think, this is what I want, this is what I feel. And all of that is based in brokenness. He goes on to make a comment that is so powerful, oftentimes not taught in our churches today. Oh, just come to Jesus, everything's fine. You do anything you want. I was teaching at a local college a number of years ago. And I was going to say before God called me into ministry, but that was ministry too, whatever. Wherever you are, you speak to the God, you're in ministry. But I heard this professor standing on a stairway with students listening to him, and he said, listen, you all need to be Baptist, because once you become a Baptist, you can go ahead and do all the sins you want, and you're still going to get to heaven.
Wow. Sign me up.
Yeah, sign me up. What? That's like saying to a local citizen, go ahead and do whatever you want, rob, kill, destroy, you're never going to go to jail. What? After the students dismissed, I went to him and I went, what are you talking about? But there was no way to convince him. He was convinced in his head that this was true, but all that that man had was information. And he was only passing on information, no transformation. That's what Jesus does. So Oswald Chambers goes on to say, that Christ died for me, therefore I go scot-free. Never. That is never, ever taught in the New Testament. It is not Christ for me unless I am determined to have Christ formed in me. So don't just say a couple of yakky words. Come up front and say a few words, some presupposed prayer, and think you got it covered. This is something in your deep inner heart that you have to go before God. It doesn't even have to be in a church, people. You can be on a bus, you can be in the bathroom, you can be in your bedroom, where you go before Him and take that one humble, submitted moment. God, forgive me. Whatever's going on with Jesus, I need that applied to me. Forgive me, I'm sorry. I invite you inside. I open up my door. Come in and make the change. From that moment on, you are going to have a sand pebble in there, that irritant. You are going to have the fire. You are going to have the things. Let God be the potter. He's going to form you and shape you. And your dreams sometimes will change. All of mine did. My plans totally changed. I'm not doing what I had planned to do when I was 20. But I thank God that He led me and guided me. He has filled me. I have everything I need and want. It just wasn't built and shaped the way I thought. So don't be afraid to let God run your life. Don't be afraid to let God make the changes needed. Don't be afraid to do what God tells you to do, not some church rule. I don't obey God because it's a church rule. I obey His principles because I love Him so much. I want to please Him. Now that's not me talking, you see. Because I know my flesh. I didn't come to know the Lord till I was 30. So I had a lot of flesh time up to that point. I know what it's like. Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. I know what it's like to say, this is okay. This looks all right to me. This is fine. This is no problem. Just everything in moderation. How many times have we heard that crap? Whoa. Where are these sayings and statements coming from? Most times, if you're not in tune with God, you're going to be listening to and believing something that came from a broken thinker. Now, with all of this in mind, Ephesians 2:10. Listen to what God said. You know, I'm so amazed when He talks like this, that Jesus came, and when He did, what His career field was, so to speak, was a carpenter. That's a builder, a fixer, a repairer. I go, wow, I mean, did you, I mean, he could have been, well, they wouldn't have plumbers back then, but, you know, he could have been a candlestick maker, I mean, you know, whatever, I mean, a horse tender or something, somebody worked with leather or something, but he wasn't. I thought on that very often, I go, as a carpenter. In Ephesians 2:10 it says, "For we are his workmanship." We're the cabinet he's building. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You can't throw away good works. But God doesn't add them all up and figure out if you have more good works than you have bad works, you're going to heaven. It had nothing to do with your good works. Mm-hmm. It's good to have good works because it says right here that he created you in Christ Jesus for good works. But the fact that you're clean or not is what gets you in heaven. Nothing unclean can be in the presence of God. Cleanliness comes only from Jesus Christ dying for your sins and taking your punishment. And until you get that straight in your heart with him, not me or anyone else in this room, until you get that straight in your heart with him, you're not clean. An atheist can open up 400 orphanages, feed 3,000 poor, open up an entire college, give $4 billion to the UN. It's useless nothing, but anyways, whatever, that's a personal opinion. But anyways, you can do all of that, but if you're not clean, you're not getting into heaven. He prepared us for his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Oh, so even every good work you want me to do, you have a plan. I'm either going to be in it or not. I'm going to hear from you. I'm going to walk in your flow. Spirit, the word spirit used in the scriptures is rheo, R-H-E-O. It's a Greek word that means flow. Boy, that shares a lot. It's flow. It's not you buying a chunk of something and sticking it in there and, you know, chomping off little pieces of it now and again. It's called a flow. That means you don't have nothing coming out that's God unless what went in was God. It's a flow. You don't get to store this stuff up and fly it out. Now you have to be based on God's scripture. You better be in God's scripture every day. You need to be reading it. You need to be having it as part of your heart and your head. What you read, what you put in, is out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks. There's so many times when I teach out in the secular world, whether I'm speaking in a high school, whether I'm speaking to a civic group, no matter what it is, scripture comes out my mouth all the time. They just don't know it is. But I'm trusting God to have convicting spirit in their hearts with his truth. And you can do the same. But I ask God to open the opportunities, and I hope each one of you will. Just like was brought up earlier today, the church does have it backwards. Everyone runs into church and invites their friends, thinking that that's going to make them holy, thinking that their attendance is going to do something toward their report card with God or something. And then everyone acts really nice in church to each other, and then they go out fighting once they're in the car, and they never change. You're supposed to be the light. You're supposed to be filled. When you come to a gathering, whether it's a church in a home or wherever it is, you're supposed to be renewing yourself in Christ, not in the ministry. You should be refreshed with God and his truth and what he's saying and what he's wanting to do. I would hope that every time we gather, we glorify the Lord. I would hope that every time we gather, maybe you figured out, or rather picked up some nugget that you didn't know that God put in there for you to have to run your life and to maybe, God willing, have come out of your mouth to share with someone else. Not rules and regulations, not some stupid, God knows what, off the cliff idea. I remember years ago some woman came up to me and she said God told her that she was supposed to open a daycare center in my house. Mm-hmm. Well, this was over the phone. I remember telling her, well, dear heart, the day God tells me that you're supposed to open a daycare in my house, that's when I'm going to open it. But people were jumping off the cliff just because someone said it. Someone said you shouldn't be married to them. You should be married to them. So they divorced and married the other one. This is ridiculous. Some people say you should be married. Some people, this is ridiculous. You should open this. You should go here. You should be in the missions. You should go to China. You should do this. You should start the youth. There are needs all over this world. Jesus Christ walked on this earth and he did not take care of every single problem. He made it so that if you come to him, you'll get through every single problem you have. You can sit in your own stew, or you can actually have Jesus Christ be your Lord and your Savior.
without the key to all this message, your walkaway takeaway today is that without Jesus Christ, we are broken and we can't do the good things that He wants. We can't live the kind of life that He says to live, and we can't even follow His directions. So right now, it's hammer time. That was an old statement, I think. Well, wasn't it? MC Hammer used to do some music, and they go, it's hammer time, and then he'd come on the stage and whatever. So it's hammer time right now. But what I have here, and I want to show you, this is what happened when Adam separated from God. He became broken. And all the progeny after Adam and Eve are born broken. You've heard this many times here that I have said this. I call us Adam's crack babies. He's the one who had the problem. And everything born in that line afterwards is born with the disability. Just like today, women who are into crack and they're pregnant, those babies are born with tremendous disabilities. They are unable to function fully. Because of Adam, we are unable to function fully. And God did not leave us broken. So what do? We're born with broken hammers. So we do something like this. We take gorilla tape and we say, oh, we do things like behavioral modification. We do things like atheism. Nah, there is no God. We have, there is no God but Allah. And then we get together and we go, oh, but there's this one here, and there's the Baha'i, and there's reincarnation, and you got 10 tries to do it. So what we do is we fix the broken hammer with our idea. There you go. That's fixed now, isn't it? All taped together, right back together, isn't it? All right. Here we go. We got ourselves a nail and a board. Now, I'm not going to do it up here because that will wreck my... I'm going to go down here on the floor and then call for the ushers to come and pick me up when I need to get off my knee. But anyway, okay, are we ready now?
Yes.
I have figured out how to fix the brokenness. I don't need Jesus. I take myself off, okay? I am going to build my life. Here we go. There you go.
That might work for a while.
That gorilla glue is pretty good. I mean, gorilla tape is pretty good. Here we go. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm doing really good here. Look at this hammer. I think I can build a whole house with this thing, can't I? Oh, here, let me pull that nail out. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm doing really good. Oh, yeah. Can you build any kind of a life with this thing? And yet this is what people are doing. They're building their families based on the principles they think. Oh, we can decide whatever we want for family. We can decide any combination, anything. We got no problem. I got my hammer. You can lie through your teeth, lie on your income tax, build your businesses based on fraud and corruption. I mean, where is it in the hearts of people? If you're working in government and someone comes to you and says, hey, listen, pass this bill, be friendly towards this bill for me, and it'll help my construction company, and I'll give another $100,000 or $2 million to your next re-election campaign. Where in the world did it stop that heart says, no way, that's corruption, that's wrong, that's borderline bribery? When you think business as usual is full of bribery, lies, and corruption, you're using the broken hammer. You're using what Adam gave us, not what Jesus gave us. You can't do it. Or you think you can, but it's a deception. This little hammer hanging by a string, flipping and flopping around, cannot build the building. Or you'll put that tape around like we did. You'll get a couple of hefty swings out of it, but it's not going to last. What you're building without Jesus Christ is going to fall apart. Because it didn't fall apart the first year doesn't mean it won't. We have weakened ourselves as a society, in our families, in our businesses, in our government, in our community, in our recreation, in every area of our lives that have not been built on a foundation of Jesus Christ is falling apart. Now, in terms of a hammer, I'm just using this as an example. We're not hammers, meaning to hammer anything. Don't misunderstand, I'm not hammer anybody anything. But a hammer can be used for construction or destruction. And it depends on the one got the hammer. It certainly is your choice on what you want to do. God wants us to have a hammer that is strong and repaired, that is for construction. It is to build something. The old devil has fooled people into thinking just because you take together a broken hammer, it is only going to be for destruction. Now, if I hammer this thing long enough, this head thing is going to fly right off because it's broken. The hammer itself is going to hurt somebody else. But you have a hammer like this. This broken nature, I'm going to show you the broken one and remind you, kind of got covered with the tape here, but on this broken one, Richard, take that off for me. You should take the tape off while I'm talking here. Thank you. On that broken one, remember I talked about the hammer. You can have it for destruction or construction. And when the hammer was broken, and I asked our dear Joseph, I called him yesterday, he lives up the street from me. I said, Joseph, I need something broken. And he goes, hey, that's what men are for. I said, well, thank you very much. And he came down, and he took an axe head to this hammer, and he broke it. And it did exactly what I want. You see, it's jagged. Now, someone can say, oh, that's okay. I don't need Jesus. They can take that jagged end and they can do this. Oh, it'll hammer it for a while, but it ain't going to work. Isn't that jagged end going to do? That's not hurt. You do anything. Thank you very much. You do anything with a jagged edge, you're going to be poking. You try and work with someone else, it's jagged edges. Without you realizing it, without Jesus Christ, you are hurting yourself and others. You can even take this and you can go like this. You just hold a hammer and just do that. Well, you're not going to have any power. There'll be zero power. You're going to waste your time trying to build something you cannot build. And the adversary, and what's that going to do? That's going to cause confusion. That's going to cause disappointment. That's going to cause depression. People trying to build a life without Jesus Christ, they're so full of depression in our world, they're full of sex, alcohol, and drugs now. Anything to make them feel better. They're trying to anesthetize the pain of disappointment and not being able to have a life. Well, you can't, because you're trying to build a strong life with a weak and broken hammer. Now, what Jesus does is he puts a tape on you that's going to last. You are then, God talks about us when he talks about salvation, that word used is sozo. And what I'm doing right now is I'm putting the hammer back together where it fits perfectly. You are actually sewn back together. We were ripped apart by what Adam did. We're put back to what Jesus did. Only the kind of tape that God uses is the kind that will never, ever, 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 ever come off. You are totally sewn back to him. So when you use that hammer to build, you're going to be able to do that. That thing is going to be able to, it's going to hit that nail if I hit it right off the top. It's going to go right into that thing, hope I didn't nail it into the floor. It's going to go right through. Hey, amen. Did that work?
Yep.
Yeah. That sure did. Can I build a house with this thing from God? I certainly can. Did the hammer head come off? Did it get all mushy like the other one? Did it fall? Oh, I just nailed it to the ground.
Nail.
I don't want it, okay. Oh, okay. Well, we have a carpenter in the room. He'll undo it here. We're going to bend the nails at the end of the cement. But do you understand?
Yeah.
With Jesus, you can do the building, and he will not lead you to anything that's destruction. It's so, so powerful. Now, look up on the screen. I couldn't get a hold of one. I got a hold of a number of people. They didn't have a nail gun. Now, here's the broken one. That's from Adam. Useless. Thank you, Jesus, but while I'm here, I'm incomplete. I have my broken parts pulled together. I'm restored because of what Jesus did. But that's not what we end up. There you go. That's a nail gun. When you get to the kingdom, you are going to be complete. There's nothing taped. There's nothing, oh my goodness, this, that, the other thing.
This is power. This is completeness. This can build anything, anytime, anywhere. And that's who we are in Jesus. It doesn't mean you can't be a nail gun here. This can't work just as effectively as a nail gun. What I'm saying is that this hammer is not that nail gun. This is effective here, but we're incomplete here. But we're whole in Jesus.
Amen.
I don't have the perfect everything till I get there, but I'm whole in Jesus. You saw how that thing, that was very powerful. It didn't do anything. It didn't fly off, didn't break, didn't do anything. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is how I got the tape on me, how you get the tape on your broken hammer. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on that cross on our behalf. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Yes, good works. Remember the first scripture? You're made for good works in Christ. But that does not give you righteousness. Jesus Christ restores and gives you righteousness. And in John 15:4, if anybody wants these afterwards, it's just come to me. I forgot to make a handout here. I think they're in the...
they're right there.
Oh, okay, yeah. I put the additional ones. They're in the bulletin. John 15:4. Now this is the key. Abide in me, and I in you. Otherwise, you're going to be hammering everything down. Don't do that. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Broken hammer. Can't do anything of itself. Unless it abides in the vine. There you go. Restored, put back together like the full one. So neither can you unless you abide in me. And in 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has the life. You know, you can put a period there and go, okay, that says it all. But he doesn't put a period there. He does not have, the Son of God does not have the life. He makes it clear. He makes the contrast. In Jesus Christ you have life. Not the life of some celebrity with 25 Rolls Royces and servants in your house and all that. He's not talking about that. When you say life to someone, especially in our country, they're thinking of riches, they're thinking of fame, they're thinking of all the wrong things. It says in the scripture, better live in a little hovel with just a little bit and have peace in your heart and rightness in your family than to live in a big mansion with contention and dissension all day and night. I tell you, you ain't no hammer, that's for sure, pulled together. You're broken. You're like this hammer. Every comment that we dig and we pierce each other, because it's the broken hammer you're using. Don't do that. This is smooth. It's pulled together, the one that is restored in Jesus Christ. It is made to function for its purpose. And what's your purpose? To get ahead in life, to have a big family, to have a small family, to have no family, to be the head of the... No! To glorify Jesus Christ. And in John 5:24, this is where you're going to be the nail gun forever, but truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Now I know that many of you in here know this, you have lived this life, you understand it, but sometimes when we hear things that God says, it gets into us in a different way. It's something we can explain to someone. People are out there speaking religionese. They're speaking Christianese. When you walk up to someone and say, do you have the blood of Jesus on you? They go, what the heck, blood? The only blood they know is the movie Saw or some decapitation by ISIS or something. You need to be led by God's Spirit to reach those that don't know him. The scripture, it is foolishness. The gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing. May God fill our mouths with things that are going to mean something to people. When God captures their heart, then he can speak to them in his language.
He can speak to them about redemption. He can speak to them about the blood of Jesus. How are we going to draw those if God doesn't show us how? And God makes it clear, your life might be the only Bible that people read for a little while. So if you're at the counter, at the cashier, complaining, how come the line is so long? How come you got how come you have 52 items in the 20-item line? This is supposed to be express. If that's you, what kind of a light is that? After waiting an inordinate amount of time in the line, hopefully when you get to the cashier, you'll be able to smile and say, you know, you're really good at what you do, handling all the people that bring in 52 items to the 20-item line. You're really good at what you do. God bless you. What a change, just that small change. Some people are so burdened with the errors of their own life or the errors of others that have come upon their life. They're so heavy, and yet you come against them, they already got rocks in their bag, in their backpack. We need to be a light that helps to lighten the load. Have you ever said, God bless you, to someone? Their face lightens. I go, oh my gosh. Well, yeah, God bless you too. It's almost like people have forgotten who Jesus is. It's not in our society anymore. I grew up in prayer and God and the mention of God and Jesus Christ and the revelation and redemption and all that. It was in our music sometimes. It was in movies. It was in amongst the people, even in the legislature. They would pray. No one was coming against them for being a Christian. How has this turned around? I'm convinced it's because people are using the broken hammer. Mm. They're not using the one restored by God. Be full of God. Pray with and for your mates. I read the scripture. I live by myself. I read the scripture out loud. I have for years and years. And you know why? Because, see, I'm a very visual learner. So God shows me visual. I see those words coming out of my mouth. They're flying into my house. They're stacking. My house is stacked full. You walk into my house, you're going to feel something. Not because of me. I'm broken. You're going to feel it because of God. People have come into my house. I feel so peaceful in here. I feel something different in here. Man, you walk into it. It's full of the Word of God. But I don't want just my house full of the Word of God. I want me full of the Word of God. And I'm not going to be full of the Word of God if I just listen now and again on the radio or come to church once in a while. I'm going to be full of the Word of God when I eat the Word of God every single day. I'm not using me as an example. I'm just giving an example because I know it's me. I'm not telling you something else that I know what happened. I wanted to read every single word in the entire Bible just to honor God. Just to say that my eyes happened to fall on every word that was in the Bible. I didn't stop to study it. I didn't stop to look it up. I just went page to page. And I underlined every single thing. As I read it, I underlined it. And it's a hardcover Bible, and I have it. And I just realized that the other day, I was opening up and used, because it's a study Bible too, and I was looking up some things, and I said, oh my gosh. Because my other Bibles, there's certain things that are underlined and they're starred and they're, because you read it over and over again. This whole Bible, every single word is underlined. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying I did it not as a challenge from some church youth group or something. I did it because I wanted to honor God, that before I die, my eye could have seen all of the words that were in the Scriptures. And that's not all the words that Jesus even spoke. All the volumes of the earth couldn't even hold that. But this is a tool that I have, and I want to have my eyes see every single one of it. Now in Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27, you see, this is proof. God has already said this, even back in the Old Testament. So don't think you can't be fixed. Don't think this can't change. Don't think you and your life can't change. He says, moreover, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. You get a new hammer. A new heart and put a new spirit within you. And when you come to Him, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now, it doesn't mean that you're automatically perfect. It means that the things you couldn't do before, you will be able to. The forgiveness you could never have. The attitude towards someone who's hurt you. Whatever it is that's there, the resentment, the depression, the darkness, whatever, all of that from a stony heart that you were born with because of what Adam did. God says, come to me, children. I am your restoration. Don't make it religion. Make it relationship with God. And he said, no one can come to the Father except through the Son. It's not a bunch of us just believe in a certain way, and then the Allahs believe that way, and the Buddhists believe that way. And that has nothing to do with what you believe. It's what's true. And he goes on in Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27, in removing that heart of stone, and I will put my spirit within you. That's what changed when I came to know him. I didn't even understand it. How I thought changed. Now, not all my behavior changed. He had to work all of that out in me. But what I was wanting, what I was desiring, bam, that changed. I went, whoa. My family said to me, what's wrong with you? I remember I looked at him kind of puzzled, and I went, you mean what's right with me? You see, I stopped doing the things that they all still were doing. So that makes people uncomfortable, makes them feel guilty. And then they don't feel comfortable around you. I never told them to stop anything. I just didn't do it anymore. And I hadn't even been to church. I hadn't even read the Bible, and I was 30 years old. So it wasn't that I was going by somebody's rules. This was the new heart, the new spirit. It came in me as a gift when I went to him. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you, not make you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will be able to hammer anything, but not with a broken hammer. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. And this was even said earlier. I think, Ramon, you said that when you were just extolling the virtues of God. The old things passed away. Now, it doesn't mean all of your old is gone. How many of you still have old in you? But it should be weaker. It should be less consuming you. It should be less controlling you. You're a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Desire that. Cherish that. God, make me new in you. I don't want how I think. We all have been affected by how we were brought up, our culture, our ethnic group, what we were exposed to in school, what kind of family we have. I don't care what God says. It's all broken. You people are trying to discuss and argue among each other who is better and best. And what. You're all broken, rich and poor. It makes no difference, black and white, yellow, I don't care, whatever. You are all broken. The only way to have that fixed is to go to Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, a broken hammer right over there, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Your nail gun is waiting. I thank the Lord. Now the first chapter, verse 4, we're going to finish that up here with the last couple of scriptures. In him, meaning Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. Let that fixed hammer, the repaired, the restored hammer, be what you use to build your life. That is the one that is held together by Jesus Christ. And the last scripture, John 14:6, Jesus said to him, there's a man who had asked him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now go tell the others the good news that your hammer has been fixed. God bless you.